Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's a Victory Monday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
What's going on, emaciated buddy?
Happy to be here again, buddy.
56 degrees right now, getting it up into the high 70s. Tommy will be back from Charleston to Murr, as long as everything on the plane works out.
Everything goes smoothly.
Okay. Your Buffalo Bills, 34-28 win. I mean, everybody knows. I'm going to need everyone to be cool today and talk quietly.
Why?
Everyone, what do you mean, why?
You got a little ringing in your head today?
It is not.
Is it just because the stadium was so loud? You just got a headache?
Okay, I don't know why you're being all saucy, because you're the biggest
wondering.
Drunk. You're somehow the biggest drunk
questions.
In this room amongst two alcoholics.
No!
No! The beer I drink's 27% alcohol. No! It's like tequila beer. No!
I was just simply trying to diagnose your issue.
Stop arguing with me. It hurts. Okay. I have been going to Bills games for 34 mm-hmm. years, and I met so many of you listeners yesterday. It was so nice to meet everybody and hang out and have some beers. Far too many beers. I think that was part of the problem.
Probably.
But in the 34 years I have been going to Bills games, I never once have been punched in the head. And that changed
punched
yesterday.
Punched in the head? Punched. What'd you do?
Okay, well, that's just it. So we get into the game, and my seats, I got them during the Bills where they almost, I got them when no one else wanted them. So I'm on the 20-yard line. And I'm three rows back, and it's the smartest decision I've ever made in my life.
Biggest investment.
Kimmy, I'm trying to soak in the last two seasons because
sure.
I know when
yeah,
this new state.
Yeah, you don't know what it's going
to
look like.
If I get my tickets at all, I know I'm not getting anywhere close, right? So I'm just soaking it in. So I am very, I have a soft spot for kids that are at the game because I remember being young and yeah. go with my dad. Like, it's like the best memories of my
you
life.
You want to give them a good experience.
Exactly.
You don't want to be like that story that they tell later on
Bingo.
Of the jerk in the crowd.
Bingo. So I'm there with my brother, and I'm 6'3". My brother's like 6'2". We're big guys. And my brother is built like a house. You saw him in his Hawaiian outfit on Friday.
Very rocking the florals.
So we get down to our seats, and behind us, there's this dad. He's like my age, and this little girl. She's like 12, right? Adorable. Adorable little girl. And she's in all her Bill stuff, and she's all excited. And I notice, while the Bills are running out of the tunnel, that she's like trying to see around me. So I turn around. I go, honey, am I in your way? And she goes, no, no. She's trying to be polite. I go, listen, I mean, do you need me to move? And I offer to switch seats. I go, if you guys want to move down. And dad's like, no, it's okay. He's super nice and everything. I go, listen, honey. I bend down and I go, if I am in your way during this game at all, mm-hmm. just tap me on the back of the head and I'll move for you.
Okay.
I'll move, okay? And it's no big deal. And she goes, okay. I go, all right. So kickoff happens. Second play of the game. Cardinals are right in front of us. Right before the snap, I get blasted in the back of the head. And when I say blasted, at first I thought somebody got a beer bottle in and chucked it from the upper deck.
Oh, like something flew down.
That's how hard I got hit. Like, and I got hit like right at the base of where your spine meets your brain.
That's dangerous.
Right? So like my eyes, you know those old like cartoons where like the coyote gets hit and his eyes are like rolling like it's a casino machine? I'm staggering. And let's not keep in mind here, not to sound like tough guy, I've boxed since I was 12 years old.
Yeah, but you don't get hit in the back of the head.
It's a bad thing to do. But I'm saying I can take a punch pretty good. No, I can take a punch.
Well, not one you're not expecting.
So I still don't know what happened. I'm like, what the hell? I'm looking around the ground and I'm like literally like staggering back
Wobbly.
And forth. I'm looking for the bottle. I'm looking for a battery, whatever the hell it could have been. I turn around and she's like, she's got her like fist, this little girl behind me. She's got her fist balled up like near her chin and she's like smiling like, gee!
Like your big ass head is in the way.
And I'm like, am I in your way? And she like nods, like, I'm like okay,
Are we sure it wasn't her dad trying to get one in?
May have been. May have been her dad that punched me in the head.
Big old Duffy heads in front of me.
So, like, I look to her dad, and her dad is obviously watching the play. So, I don't think he saw what happened.
Okay.
I don't think he saw what happened.
She just took an opportunity.
But she must have hit me with everything she had in the back of the head in just the right spot. So, like, I'm not kidding when I'm saying it took me, like, a full, like, 2 minutes.
To recover.
To get my bearing. Like, I'm like, hands on my knees. I'm, like, leaning over. And I don't want to embarrass a kid. Like, she did what I told her to
do. She did, technically.
With extreme prejudice.
Yeah. It was more of, you were asking for more of like a tap, though, not closed fist punch.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess it's just super literal.
So, maybe as a 12-year-old, you don't think you're going to actually hurt an adult, a grown adult man, you know? Like, I could see, like, punching as hard as I could as a 12-year-old thinking, this isn't going to do anything.
She was wrong. So the funniest part is, like, I'm trying to get my bearings back about me, and, like, after that long, with the first drive, the Cardinals had a long pass play on a screen, and my brother turns to me, like, what the F, and he sees me, like, he said, you all right? And I didn't...
Did you get concussed from a 12-year-old?
I've had concussions. I don't think I have a concussion. I don't feel it this morning, but that could be also the hangover wiping out the concussion.
Yeah, maybe you give it a day.
It's all probably really healthy, what's happening inside my brain right now. But my brother sees me, and he's like, you all right? And I don't want, one, to embarrass this little girl, and I don't want her to, like, get in trouble, because, again, I don't think her dad saw.
Well, but you also don't want to be punched again either.
Well, yes, no, for the rest of the game, I stood directly sideways. I'm not kidding.
I will not get in your... way the game.
Not only so I wouldn't get in her way, I needed to keep a peripheral vision on this girl. I'm not exaggerating.
Want to see the next one coming.
Like, the poor guy that was standing to the right of me, he was a truck driver.
All up in his space.
I was. Like, I was blocking his view the entire time, and he was such a sweet guy. He was a truck driver from Michigan. He wasn't even a Bills fan, but he was driving through town, and he heard about the experience, and he was having, like, the time
That's
of his
cool.
life. And I ruined his experience, because I was just blocking him the whole time.
And he probably was, like, thinking to himself, like, oh, this freaking drunk guy is getting all up in my space
100%,
right now.
But it was only because I didn't want to get knocked out by a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So Ryan, my brother's asking me, like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I don't want to, like, tell him what's going on. So I think he thought either I was having a stroke or I was so drunk I was about to pass out. Little does he know, 12-year-old almost knocked me unconscious.
Well, you better get used to it, because you don't know if, like, the people sitting behind you are regulars or not.
No, so they're not. So,
oh,
like,
okay.
The tickets, they get sold. But that's
so I was going to say, maybe you should expect some more punching in the future.
No, it was, like, this family from Pittsburgh, and, like, I don't know about you guys. I have this bad habit, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, a 12-year-old girl punched me so hard in the back of the head, she almost knocked me out at the Bills game after I instructed her, if I'm in your way, just... Yeah. Tap me.
Yeah.
Tap me on the head.
A little tap with a fist.
I stereotype people and how tough they are based on the city that they're from. Do you do this?
Yes and no. I don't know. I wouldn't judge a little girl based on where she's from.
Timmy, do you do this?
Well, I'm not grease tough, so yeah.
I don't know why. Like, when I know people think, like, Pittsburgh is tough because it's like a steel town.
They got that blue collar.
Used to.
Feel.
Modern Pittsburgh is like, ugh. And this dad, he was a nice guy, but he looked like, ugh. So, like, even if, like, this girl was like, I'm going to punch you in the head, I would have been like, you're from Pittsburgh, so I'm going to be able to take it just fine. No big deal.
I knew some pretty tough chicks from Pittsburgh. That I wouldn't want to take a punch from.
My daughter's first hockey fight she got in was in Pittsburgh with a girl from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And my daughter can't fight, and she handled that just fine.
All right.
Punch her in the back
maybe
of the
it's
head.
A girl thing? Maybe it's a Pittsburgh woman thing?
Maybe it was the same girl. Maybe she was getting revenge on my daughter through the back of my effing head. Oh, God. All right. We're going to maintain today. We're going to fight through this concussion. We're going to fight through this hangover. Like, would you have said something to the dad?
No.
You would have kept your mouth shut?
No.
Timmy, you keep your mouth shut?
100%.
Okay.
And, like,
what are you,
you
do,
kind
like,
of did
paddle?
It to yourself.
I said tap.
You did. Well, that's the problem, too, because
you could have just been a dick and just been in the way the whole game.
I don't want to ruin a 12-year-old kid's possible
experience.
First game experience. I mean, look.
Well, how do you feel about it now?
Timmy, how old are you when you went to your first football game?
NFL game? Yeah. I was an adult.
Okay, never mind. Kimmy, were you a kid when you went to your first NFL game?
No, I think I was probably... in my late teens.
Okay, so there you go. Like, that's what's so magical about it is if you have the opportunity, and I speak this from existence, right? Like, I'm 38 years old. And when I walk down the stairs every single Sunday to get to my seat, I still have that magical feeling of when I was 4 or 5 years old and I saw that field for the first time. And there's Jim Kelly and there's Bruce Smith and there's Thurman Thomas. And like,
then I punched a guy in the back of the head. Never forget. Just think, you're part of her experience.
Oh, but she doesn't know what she did. She doesn't know what she did.
Might.
I don't think she, nah, I was. I don't think a kid knows what she, because she would have said like
12. You're pretty aware at 12.
I think she was. I hope she didn't know, because okay, if she did know, that makes her evil. If she knew what she did and she wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, or yeah, oh my God, I hit you too hard or whatever, she's an evil 12-year-old girl.
Hopefully you don't have to see her again.
Yeah, that would be awkward. You're right. I hope they like don't know the people who have the seats, right? Because if that's the case, I'm like,
I'm standing in your way.
No, you're switching. I'm not even going to give the dad the option this time. I'm going to tattle on his daughter. I'm going to be like, listen, man, it's cool. Don't be upset. But your daughter.
Your kid here is punching people in the back of the head.
She almost knocked me out, and I don't mind. It's okay. It was kind of my fault. So you're going to sit down here, and I'm going to move up to row 4, and we're just going to watch this game. And if she gets in my way, oh man, ham fist right to the back of that 12-year-old girl's head.
Well, now you know for next time. If there's a kid behind you, just block their view.
No, I've said that 1,000 times to kids, by the way. Like, there's been kids behind me before, and I always go, you know, tap me on the head. And they never actually even tap me on the head. They never really tap me on the head.
Yeah.
And this girl, making up for 12 years of me having my tickets, decided to take all 12 of those years, ball it up in her fist, and punch me in the most vulnerable spot in the back of my head. Oh, my head hurts. Ow. All right. I was Bill Gray's yesterday out in Chicago.
It was great. It was great. Good food, good people.
Okay, we will recap this game as we bring up Bill Gray's. The Bills, short turnaround this week.
Yep.
They play Thursday night, prime time on Amazon against the Miami Dolphins in Miami. I will be hanging out at the Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chialai. So if you see me, I'm begging you, don't hit me in the back of the head. Please don't hit me in the back of the head. Because I would like
no
a game.
Punching.
Yes, I would like a game experience where I'm not potentially concussed at
well,
some
point
this
season. Don't block anybody's view this time.
I'm going to stand against the wall at the Bill Gray's Tap Room in Chialai. We'll see you Thursday night.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's harder to run from the cops than you think, Kimmy. And a lot of it could have to do with luck. But there are things you can do to make sure that you won't get away from the cops. And this is absolutely one of those things. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. The story happened just east of us. According to authorities, a sheriff's deputy attempted to speak with a suspicious man who was walking from behind a closed business when the police officer just happened to be driving by. Kimmy, it seems this man did not want to talk.
Okay.
Because he took off running when he saw the cop.
Okay. So did the cop stop him?
The cop tried to approach him to talk
okay,
to him.
And he just said, I'm out.
Deuces. And he okay, took off running, gotcha, according to police. The 35-year-old man ran down the street. Then he ran into a heavily wooded area. Then he jumped into a pond and tried to swim away from the cops.
All of the elements.
Yep. See, like he's snow away from like, you know, running around the world. So we're going to blow the ending for you. Police eventually caught him after they searched the area. And it turns out the sheriff's deputy may have been right to question him. Because a burglary had taken place in that area. And when the man was found, police say he had stolen property along with burglary tools on him.
Oh.
He's been arrested.
So he was running with burglary.
Got that? I'm the one that got punched in the head and I'm hungover. Say it.
But he burglary.
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 Like burger, but with lurry at the end.
Burglary.
Burglary.
So he had burglary tools on
him. Yes, he had burglary tools on him.
So like, where would you hide those things while you're running and swimming?
Oh, I don't think burglary tools are small, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, but you should have, I mean, does he have cargo pants on? Well, he have some pretty solid pockets.
Of all of the things
you said also stolen items.
Yeah, but that could have
been. Where are you carrying all these things in?
They could have been small stolen items. Of all the things I just told you, he's running a marathon outside. He's running a triathlon, and you're worried about where he kept his burglary
tools. Yeah, because let's say you stole a watch, right?
Okay.
Well, that watch is automatically ruined once you jump into that pond.
Fine, but maybe you're at the point where I don't care. I'm just trying to escape the cops. I do have a sidebar before we get back into the question. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. One, where can you buy burglary tools? Like, do they sell like a burglary tool kit? And two, is it legal?
I looked at Timmy. What do you think, Timmy?
Timmy's not smart enough to be a burglar, although he's built for it. Walks softly.
Yes, he is. He looks suspicious at all times.
I meant more that he's skinny and can fit in confined spaces.
Okay, well, both.
Like, if today I decided I want burglary tools, like, do I have to go online to, like, some, like, website I shouldn't go to get them? Or can I go to, like, you know, Target?
I'm assuming that there's not a black market for burglary tools, whatever that is. Like,
just use, like, a credit card, right? And that could be considered a burglary tool?
Well, I don't know how, if everybody has a burglary tool on this way. No, there's like a, I've seen them before. It's like a little case with like, I almost want to say,
burgling.
It looks like Allen wrenches, but it's not. There's a bunch of stuff. I'm telling you, there are actual burglary tools. I'm telling you. You've never seen these before?
No, not like an actual official pocket knife of tools like that.
From the official Society of American Burglars.
Yes.
Approved.
Of theft.
Okay, so getting back to the chase. Again, we're talking about a 35-year-old man. He was walking from behind a closed business after a police officer spotted him, approached him to talk to him. Police say the man took off, ran away from the cop through a heavily wooded area, jumped in a pond, tried to swim away. They ended up catching him, and they say he had burglary tools and stolen property on him at the same time. Has anyone in the history of crime ever escaped by swim?
That's a great question. It doesn't sound like they found him after he got out of the water. It sounds like maybe like they searched the area for a little while before finding him.
They did.
So, I mean, he technically escaped for at least a little bit after jumping in the pond.
You think they give him a ribbon when he gets back to the police department after that?
You made good time.
Good way to go. He still got caught.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. We've seen a bunch of these tried to swim away to escape stories. And it sure does seem like all of the criminals who end up in the water also end up in handcuffs.
Because they have nowhere to go.
Well, that's just it.
Unless like you're like, you jump into a river and it carries you down. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of a time where like a body of water would help you escape because you're just getting to the other side.
But then you could also die. Like, if the river's fast enough to carry you away from the cops, you're probably going to die. You're going to drown, or you're going to hit something that's going to like wreck you, right? Like, a lot has to go right for you to get away from authorities via water. You have to be a really good swimmer. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's one of the most exhausting things you can do.
Yeah.
Right?
And you don't know it until you're in the water. I'd imagine at that point you're just giving up. Like, all right, you caught me. I can only tread water for so long.
Is that why people get caught so easy in the water? Because like you realize how hard it is once you hit the water.
I can't even swim.
How do you?
You can at all.
You're a 36-year-old man. You can't swim?
Correct. Cannot swim.
How can you not swim?
Not like the doggy paddle. Like, we're not, I mean, you don't have to be like an official swimmer, but like.
No, like if you throw me into like the Erie Canal and like in the middle and make me go to the side, I don't think I can get there.
Really? Timmy, you're built like a leaf. Like, are you sure you wouldn't break the surface tension of the water?
I think that, I don't remember this because I was like an infant, but apparently I walked into the canal and I'm guessing that was like traumatizing.
For you?
Yeah, like, I don't remember doing it, but I'm guessing that that has a factor into why I
stayed away from
unable
water.
To swim as an adult.
Okay, all right. Well, we can unpack that later. We'll have you lay down on the couch and we'll talk about the time you walked into the canal. But going back to the swimming, right? Like, on top of that, if you think you're going to swim and get out and run away, you're insane.
Yeah.
Because try swimming, getting that is a triathlon. It's 2/3 of a triathlon.
Right.
And I think people,
and you're not in the right gear for it. Your pants are definitely going to weigh you down.
Thank you.
If you're in jeans, forget about it. Wet jeans, running in wet jeans sounds like the worst escape plan of all time.
It's also torture. Like, I think there are countries who torture people by making them run in wet jeans. Have you ever had to run in wet jeans before?
No, why would I?
Because like a water balloon fight or like somebody sprays you with a hose. I've run in wet jeans. It's not fun.
Yeah, but I feel like if I was a kid, I wouldn't be in jeans. I'd be in, like, you know, soccer shorts or something.
No, no. Like, there was...
I don't remember ever... Yeah.
There was a water balloon fight at the St. Helens Catholic Fair one year, and I was wearing jeans. I was in jeans.
Wide. What does Tommy call them?
My white boy flappy jeans.
Flappy jeans?
No, this was pre-flappy jeans style. Okay. I was like 10. But, you know, I've always had very powerful thighs.
As you say, yes.
Yeah, no, I've got big-ass thighs. So, like... When my thighs get wet in jeans, it's immediate rash. It is immediate rash. And, like, the pain of having to run with wet jean rash. And look, every fat guy listening to the show is nodding his head along. Like, I know that pain.
Yep.
He knows that pain.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you, brother? Oh, Timmy, can I get some phones, buddy? I'm sorry, Paul. That was my fault. Hold on. Stand by. Paul.
What do I need to do?
I don't know. You're the one running the board, man. All right, Paul, let me put you back on hold, buddy. I'm sorry. We're going to figure this out. What do I need to do?
Is the phone up?
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe it's a Paul thing.
Okay. Sorry, Paul. I love how we're having like a show meeting in the middle of the show. Other shows do that here in town. What do you want to talk about next? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Wet jeans.
You know, going back to
I got to know now what this guy was wearing.
I mean, it's summer. He's probably wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't know, though. Like we said, if you're carrying stuff on you, you're probably prepared.
You
probably got a lot of pockets and at least a bag.
No, but, I mean, this guy didn't plan to escape either. Like, I think he may be giving if he's guilty.
Well, no, but that's why I'm assessing what he could have been wearing.
Yeah, I think we're also underestimating, because, like, I don't know. Ponds get warmer faster than, like, lakes and rivers, right?
I think they're pretty warm.
Okay, but, like, you're still... The shock of that water when you jump in is still going to be a jolt to your body.
Sure.
Right? So you got to jump into the water, deal with that shock, swim away from the cops, get out of the water, and continue to run in all your wet clothing.
Yeah, like, how far does adrenaline take you after that point?
It's a good question.
Because at some point, like you said, your thighs are now itchy.
Got raw thighs. Yeah. Got raw thighs. You're soaking wet.
You got wet shoes.
Ah.
Making like the quick, quick, quick noises.
And like if you got thigh rash, which absolutely will happen, you also got to worry about like the bacteria for the pond too. Like you got open thigh wound rash pond bacteria going on. You're gonna get a staph infection.
Yeah, just let them just lay down and give up.
But like past all of that, with this 35-year-old man who police say was arrested having burglary tools and stuff that he burgled after he ran from cops and wanted to ask him a question when they saw him coming from a business that was closed as he jumped into a pond to try and escape. Take the thigh rash out of it. Take the potential staph infection you'll get. Take the exhaustion. When you get arrested, you're going to be soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
And even just sitting there. Yeah. Yes. Your pants, your shirt, your underwear, your socks will be dripping with water. And I don't think the cops are going to like offer you a towel.
Well, that's what I was wondering, though, because they also don't want to deal with you leaving puddles everywhere, though, I'm guessing.
What do they care?
I don't know. Like somebody's got to clean it up.
Well, the back of most cop cars do not have cloth seats. They have plastic seats, so you can just like bloop.
But once you get to like the station, right?
But so here's the thing. I've never been arrested. But like if they're putting you in cuffs, putting you in the back of the car, and taking you to the station, like stuff has to happen while you're there, right? Yeah. They're going to process you, do all that stuff. Then you have to get in the car and drive there.
You're just dripping everywhere.
Yes, it could be 90 minutes between you getting cuffs on you there and you finally getting into like dry clothes. And if they take you to like the jail cell inside the police department, I don't know if they have like jumpsuits to give you. Hmm. You may be stuck in that cell in your damp clothes.
Yeah, but let's say you're like full of mud or like you're bloody or something. Okay. Like I would imagine like they give you something to like clean yourself up just because is it like a hazard to other people if like there's pond water everywhere? I don't know.
I
don't know.
All of the mugshots we see that are just like police arrested this person, they're in the clothes that they were arrested in.
You're
unless
right.
they were found naked, in which case they have like a paper vest over
Well, they're
them.
In those clothes initially, like when they get there.
I'm just saying, if it takes 60 minutes from cuffs to change, which is very possible, that's too much time. I would rather be arrested.
Yeah.
I would rather give myself up than be soaking wet for 60 minutes.
Because to your point, even if you, let's say you escape the police after all this, like they can't find you, you found like a nice little hiding spot somewhere, like eventually you're going to need to dry, like you're going to be cold and wet and uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like at some point When does your mind start thinking, I got to do something about this? I can't live like this anymore.
Look, let's put it this way. You can go to jail.
Yeah.
Or you can go to jail super uncomfortable.
Yes.
Which one do you want it to be? Because you're probably going to jail.
Yeah.
Like we said in the beginning, running from the cops, period, borderline impossible. Do you want to be all damp and pond smelly when you do it?
No, I'm out on the pond smell.
252 WCMF. All right, let's talk to Joe just to see if the phones are working here.
Okay.
Joe, how are you, buddy? What's going on?
Hey, Jeff, go Bills!
Go Bills! Okay, we're good. What's up, Joe?
So, Jeff, I got arrested back in 94 in Orlando. I celebrated O.J. Simpson getting acquitted.
Okay.
And we had drank a little bit too much. So, next thing I know, I'm in Orange County Correctional Facility. I don't remember too much of this, but I puked black everywhere, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Before they arraigned me, they gave me a bucket and a mop and made me clean up my own cell.
Wait, are you serious?
Wow. Did you get it on yourself? Like, where? Like...
Me, the guy in the cell with me.
Oh.
And
it was
to this day, God rest his soul, I still blame OJ.
Joe, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Some would say that's the second worst thing he ever did. OJ, not Joe.
I got arrested in Orlando.
Celebrating O.J. Simpson?
I guess.
He puked out his black soul is what happened. What the hell happened there?
Mm-hmm.
What point were you ready to be done with that game during
what
the game?
What point was I ready to be done?
Like, you know, there is a sense of hopelessness that starts to set in when you know just a game is not going your way.
Yeah.
Did that kick in yesterday?
I always give it at least to like midway through the third quarter, because there was enough time and space score wise for them to turn it around.
Okay.
And I was like, let's just get to the locker room.
Okay.
Like towards the end of that first half, I was like, they need to reset here. They need to do something else. They just need a break. And come back and like really turn it on.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Bills get within three at halftime. They come out of the locker room and it's a different game. The defense shuts down the Cardinals offense. They hold them a field goal in the second half and they hang 24 points in two quarters. But most importantly, they hold on for the big win. Josh Allen puts the effing team on his back.
Allen keeps it himself. Allen to the right. Allen to the goal line. Lowers his shoulder. He's in. Touchdown, Josh Allen. He powered his way in.
That man was not letting the Bills leave the field without that win yesterday.
No, he was not.
And here's what's weird about that performance. That was one of the all-time Bills quarterback performances when you look at the numbers that he had yesterday.
He put the team on his back.
Legitimately.
Like, it was super Josh. Because he even did the leap. And we got like a full-on Josh Allen game.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you got like that early... The early strip sack, you got Josh overcoming some things and Josh just putting the team on his back like, I'm going to do this.
It was a Josh charcuterie board is what it was. It was just a little bit of everything with Josh, right? But like, it's funny, you watch that game and all of a sudden the Bills are up 11.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden things are going well and you don't even realize because like, you kind of, I don't know about you guys, I'm watching the game and I'm loving what Josh is doing, but I've seen Josh do that 1,000 times. So I'm just like, oh, ho-hum game. And then you finish the game and it's like, oh, he had almost 300 all-purpose yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, you don't even realize it in the moment.
Yeah.
What a brilliant game he played yesterday.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you had something you thought you took away from the game
yesterday.
Well,
that's what you were saying. Like, there's one, you may not know everything there is to know about this team, but one thing I think we did see was that they're going to let Josh be Josh this season.
Okay.
Whether or not they let him, he's going to do it. Like, it seemed like Josh was more motivated than ever, especially in that game. Like, I'm going to take this and I'm going to win it myself.
It sure seemed like both of those touchdown runs were designed runs. I know the first one was. The second one looked designed too.
Because that is not the way that they started last season. Remember, a lot of people were highly critical of Ken Dorsey for not letting Josh be Josh, for probably trying to protect Josh and keep him from himself. Doesn't seem like that's been the case for game one.
Well, but I mean, look, I mean, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I love watching Josh be Josh. Timmy, you love watching Josh be Josh.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, there are consequences.
He didn't get hurt, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he hurt. So worst moment of the game yesterday. I'm standing in my seats because I'm right on the sideline there.
Watching him tape up the left hand.
Oh, no, that wasn't scary because I'm like, okay, they're going to tape him. He's fine. As they're taping his hand, Mitchell Trubisky was taking snaps.
Mitchell Trubisky was taking snaps.
And don't get me wrong, man. I love the Trubisky. But I don't want you playing meaningful snaps in the season.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe if you have to take one so Josh can get his hand taped up, but we can't rely on Mitchell Trubisky.
Because let's not forget, that's right after the Cards went house first kickoff return with the new format happens in Orchard Park against the Bills. Of course it does.
Yeah.
Okay, so you believe then what we can take away from this game, Kimmy, is that Josh will be Josh and no one can stop
him. That's what I got out of it.
Okay, that's a fair statement. Because there are two ways you can look at this game yesterday. You can be thrilled the Bills got the win. On a weird opening day where no one knew what to expect, that the team came together in the second half, they battened down the hatches, they did what they had to do. Or you can be upset that the team with the fourth overall pick went up 17-3 and was hanging around until the very last play against this team that's supposed to win the division.
Yeah, concerning.
Which one are you right now? Are you happy or are you concerned?
I'm a little concerned.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned, especially...
But you're always negative. They call you negative.
I mean, to your point, as fun as it was to watch Josh be Josh, I mean, Josh can't win them all by himself.
Timmy.
He's going to try, but you need a little help. You need a little help on defense, and I don't know if he's going
to
get that.
I mean, they shut him out. The defense held him to 3 points in the second half. I mean, they took that
kickoff
to the house.
How fragile this defense is just depth wise.
Okay,
you know,
fair.
Taron Johnson goes down, and I mean they're kind of lucky they got out of that game with just the one injury. Really,
Cam Lewis had a hell of a pass breakup though at the end of the game.
Right.
Timmy, are you thrilled with the win or are you concerned the way that it happened?
I think that there's everything to build from because of how slowly that first half was. Like whatever, you throw that away and you build from what happened in the last. What, 33 minutes? The end of the first half and the rest of the second half was phenomenal for Bills fans.
Attaboy. And I think Timmy's right. Here's why. Last season, that game yesterday was a game the Bills lose. And I can prove it. If things didn't go well against bad teams right away last season, it was over. The Broncos game, they lost at home. The Patriots game, they lost on the road. And the way those games worked out, very similar games to yesterday. And even the games that the Bills squeaked out against bad teams last year felt different than yesterday's win. The Buccaneers game at home comes down to a dropped Hail Mary pass. The Giants game at home, they should have lost that game if Tyrod Taylor doesn't make that bonehead mistake going into the locker room. But yesterday, to Timmy's point, after a really bad start for the Bills, like down two touchdowns bad, they took control, and they never gave control back. Because even when the Cardinals were driving on that final play, it was nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking.
I still felt like the Bills were in control.
They were. It could have gone a different way, though, had the refs made a pass interference call in that last play.
Okay, but you can make the same.
It was close.
You can make the same argument about the roughing the passer that gave the Cardinals four extra points.
You're right. I know it goes both ways, but that would have been a crucial situation.
Fair enough, but they got the win. I never felt like they were not in control in the second half. In all sincerity, I mean, look.
You weren't nervous, though, watching the Cardinals drive down the field there in the last minute.
There's a difference between being nervous and feeling like we don't have control. I'm always nervous. Unless the Bills are up 30, and I'll take that back. If the Bills are up 30 in the fourth quarter, I'm not nervous. Like, I have to see fourth quarter 30 points and I'm not nervous anymore. But no, I mean, nervous and not being in control are two different things.
No, I think that this season's going to be a lot of nervous at the end of the game. Just the way it was last year. I mean, you never went to bed early watching a Bills game. Because it was always close, and it always came down to the last 2 minutes.
But that is what we are taking away from yesterday's game. And you're right about what you said last year, but it's different. It's in a different way this year. And what I mean with the Bills win yesterday, trying to figure out what we can take away from the game, what this team will be for the rest of the season. The Bills will be a team who tries to win games by any means necessary all season long. And I know that sounds dumb, like every team does that, but what I mean, most teams have a style. Miami plays fast. Kansas City gets you out of position by like moving you different places. The Eagles play physical football. And when you watch those teams play, 90% of the time, that's what you're going to see. You tune in to expect, you know, a Dolphins receiver running a 4.240 down the field. You tune in to watch Patrick Mahomes send three people three different ways and then have it throw it backwards. You watch the Eagles and the tush push and, okay. Last year, for the last few years, this Bills team has been Josh and Stephon Diggs. And sure, Gabe Davis would have a day every once in a while, but 90% of the time when you tune into a Bills game, it was Josh and Stephon Diggs carrying that team to a win and everyone else was getting filtered through. He's gone. Mm. So now you win by any means necessary. 10 different Bills players caught a ball yesterday. 10. Rookie Keon Coleman led the team with 51 yards receiving. All three running backs on the Bills roster had multiple carries. Two of them caught balls out of the backfield. All three of them were targeted. This is not a team who's going to rely on an identity. It feels like, and if I'm wrong, tell me, 252-WCMF. This feels like a team that is going to go out, they're going to play ball, and then they're going to decide with a quarter left what is the best way to try and beat you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to muck it up.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it close.
Do you think they're mucking it up on purpose, though?
I think McDermott likes to...
I feel like they just end up in these situations, whether on purpose or by accident. Like they muck it up because sometimes they're their own worst enemy.
I think McDermott likes winning football games that way.
And yeah, it's forced adversity almost.
Yeah,
like trying to find the hardest way possible for something easy.
It's like, it is frustrating because it seems like they are in control, but they're also like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're in control, but they put themselves in bad situations.
All right, I'll put it like
that lead to them having to play hero ball.
I'll put it like this. I don't think Bills head coach Sean McDermott likes any kind of risk. Mm. I think that he trusts his guys on defense. I think that he trusts his offensive line. And I think that he wants to win. And I know it feels nerve-wracking to us. I feel like he's comfortable when they're not chucking the ball 60 yards down the field to try and win a game, you know, catch them off guard. Like, you know, that play where right before they kick the field goal to go up six, design run for Josh. He wants that, right? He wants the ball is on the ground. The ball will stay secure. I'm going to trust my guys. It worked twice on touchdowns, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What point were you ready to be done with that game?
What point was I ready to be done?
Like, you know, there is a sense of hopelessness that starts to set in when you know just a game is not going your way.
Yeah.
Did that kick in yesterday?
I always give it at least to like midway through the third quarter because there was enough time and space score wise for them to turn it around.
Okay.
And I was like, let's just get to the locker room.
Okay.
Like towards the end of that first half, I was like, they need to reset here. They need to do something else. They just need a break and come back and like really turn it on.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Bills get within three at halftime. They come out of the locker room and it's a different game. The defense shuts down the Cardinals offense. They hold them a field goal in the second half and they hang 24 points in two quarters. But most importantly, they hold on for the big win. Josh Allen puts the effing team on his back.
Allen keeps it himself. Allen to the right. Allen to the goal. Touchdown, Josh Allen. He powered his way in.
That man was not letting the Bills leave the field without that win yesterday.
No, he was not.
And here's what's weird about that performance. That was one of the all-time Bills quarterback performances when you look at the numbers that he had yesterday.
He put the team on his back.
Legitimately.
Like, it was super Josh. Because he even did the leap, and we got like a full-on Josh Allen game.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you got like that early strip sack. You got Josh overcoming some things, and Josh just putting the team on his back. Like, I'm going to do this.
It was a Josh charcuterie board is what it was. It was just a little bit of everything with Josh, right? But like, it's funny. You watch that game, and all of a sudden, the Bills are up 11. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, things are going well. And you don't even realize, because like, you kind of, I don't know about you guys. I'm watching the game, and I'm loving what Josh is doing, but I've seen Josh do that 1,000 times. So I'm just like, oh, ho-hum game. And then you finish the game, and it's like, oh, he had almost 300 all-purpose yards and four touchdowns. Like, you don't even realize it in the moment.
Yeah.
What a brilliant game he played yesterday.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you had something you thought you took away from the game
yesterday.
Well,
that's what you were saying. Like, there's one, you may not know everything there is to know about this team, but one thing I think we did see was that they're going to let Josh be Josh this season.
Okay.
Whether or not they let him, he's going to do it. Like, Josh is, it seemed like Josh was more motivated than ever, especially in that game. Like, I'm going to take this and I'm going to win it myself.
It sure seemed like both of those touchdown runs were designed runs. I know the first one was. The second one looked designed too.
Because that is not the way that they started last season. Remember, a lot of people were highly critical of Ken Dorsey for not letting Josh be Josh, for probably trying to protect Josh and keep him from himself. Doesn't seem like that's been the case for game one.
Well, but I mean, look, I mean, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I love watching Josh be Josh. Timmy, you love watching Josh be Josh.
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, there are consequences.
He didn't get hurt.
I mean, yeah, he hurt. So, worst moment of the game yesterday. I'm standing in my seats because I'm right on the sideline there.
Watching him tape up the left hand.
Oh, no, that wasn't scary because I'm like, okay, they're going to tape him. He's fine. As they're taping his hand, Mitchell Trubisky was taking snaps.
Mitchell Trubisky was taking snaps.
And don't get me wrong, man. I love the Trubisky. But I don't want you playing meaningful snaps in the season.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe if you have to take one so Josh can get his hand taped up, but we can't rely on Mitchell Trubisky.
Because let's not forget, that's right after the Cards went house first kickoff return with the new format happens in Orchard Park against the Bills. Of course it does.
Yeah.
Okay, so you believe then what we can take away from this game, Kimmy, is that Josh will be Josh and no one can stop
him. That's what I got out of it.
Okay, that's a fair statement. Because there are two ways you can look at this game yesterday. You can be thrilled the Bills got the win on a weird opening day where no one knew what to expect, that the team came together in the second half, they battened down the hatches, they did what they had to do. Or you can be upset that the team with the fourth overall pick went up 17-3 and was hanging around until the very last play against this team that's supposed to win the division.
Yeah, concerning.
Which one are you right now? Are you happy or are you concerned?
I'm a little concerned.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned, especially...
But you're always negative. They call you negative.
I mean, to your point, as fun as it was to watch Josh be Josh, I mean, Josh can't win them all by himself.
Timmy.
He's going to try, but you need a little help. You need a little help on defense, and I don't know if he's going
to
get that.
I mean, they shut him out. The defense held him to 3 points in the second half. I mean, they took that kickoff to the house.
How fragile this defense is just depth wise.
Okay,
you know,
fair.
Taron Johnson goes down, and I mean they're kind of lucky they got out of that game with just the one injury. Really,
Cam Lewis had a hell of a pass breakup though at the end of the game.
Right.
Timmy, are you thrilled with the win or are you concerned the way that it happened?
I think that there's everything to build from because of how slowly that first half was. Like, whatever, you throw that away and you build from what happened in the last 33 minutes? The end of the first half and the rest of the second half was phenomenal for Bills fans.
Attaboy. And I think Timmy's right. Here's why. Last season, that game yesterday was a game the Bills lose. And I can prove it. If things didn't go well against bad teams right away last season, it was over. The Broncos game, they lost at home. The Patriots game, they lost on the road. And the way those games worked out, very similar games to yesterday. And even the games that the Bills squeaked out against bad teams last year felt different than yesterday's win. The Buccaneers game at home comes down to a dropped Hail Mary pass. The Giants game at home, they should have lost that game if Tyrod Taylor doesn't make that bonehead mistake going into the locker room. But yesterday, to Timmy's point, after a really bad start for the Bills, like down two touchdowns bad, they took control, and they never gave control back. Because even when the Cardinals were driving on that final play, it was nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking.
I still felt like the Bills were in control.
They were. It could have gone a different way, though, had the refs made a pass interference call in that last play.
Okay, but you can make the same.
It was close.
You can make the same argument about the roughing the passer that gave the Cardinals four extra points.
You're right. I know it goes both ways, but that would have been a crucial situation.
Fair enough, but they got the win. I never felt like they were not in control in the second half. In all sincerity, I mean, look.
You weren't nervous, though, watching the Cardinals drive down the field there in the last minute.
There's a difference between being nervous and feeling like we don't have control. I'm always nervous. Unless the Bills are up 30, and I'll take that back. If the Bills are up 30 in the fourth quarter, I'm not nervous. Like, I have to see fourth quarter 30 points and I'm not nervous anymore. But no, I mean, nervous and not being in control are two different things.
No, I think that this season's going to be a lot of nervous at the end of the game. Just the way it was last year. I mean, you never went to bed early watching a Bills game because it was always close, and it always came down to the last 2 minutes.
But that is what we are taking away from yesterday's game. And you're right about what you said last year, but it's different. It's in a different way this year. And what I mean with the Bills' win yesterday, trying to figure out what we can take away from the game, what this team will be for the rest of the season. The Bills will be a team who tries to win games by any means necessary all season long. And I know that sounds dumb, like every team does that, but what I mean, most teams have a style. Miami plays fast. Kansas City gets you out of position by like moving you different places. The Eagles play physical football. And when you watch those teams play, 90% of the time, that's what you're going to see. You tune in to expect, you know, a Dolphins receiver running a 4-2-40 down the field. You tune in to watch Patrick Mahomes send three people three different ways and then have it throw it backwards. You watch the Eagles and the tush push and okay. Last year, for the last few years, this Bills team has been Josh and Stephon Diggs. And sure, Gabe Davis would have a day every once in a while, but 90% of the time when you tuned into a Bills game, it was Josh and Stephon Diggs carrying that team to a win and everyone else was getting filtered through. He's gone. Mm. So now you win by any means necessary. 10 different Bills players caught a ball yesterday. 10. Rookie Keon Coleman led the team with 51 yards receiving. All three running backs on the Bills roster had multiple carries. Two of them caught balls out of the backfield. All three of them were targeted. This is not a team who's going to rely on an identity. It feels like, and if I'm wrong, tell me, 252-WCMF. This feels like a team that is going to go out, they're going to play ball, and then they're going to decide with a quarter left what is the best way to try and beat you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to muck it up.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it close.
Do you think they're mucking it up on purpose, though?
I think McDermott likes to...
I feel like they just end up in these situations, whether on purpose or by accident. Like they muck it up because sometimes they're their own worst enemy.
I think McDermott likes winning football games that way.
And yeah, it's forced adversity almost.
Yeah,
like trying to find the hardest way possible for something easy.
It's like, it is frustrating because it seems like they are in control, but they're also like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're in control, but they put themselves in bad situations.
All right, I'll put it like
that lead to them having to play hero ball.
I'll put it like this. I don't think Bills head coach Sean McDermott likes any kind of risk. Mm. I think that he trusts his guys on defense. I think that he trusts his offensive line. And I think that he wants to win. And I know it feels nerve-wracking to us. I feel like he's comfortable when they're not chucking the ball 60 yards down the field to try and win a game, you know, catch him off guard. Like, you know, that play where right before they kick the field goal to go up six, design run for Josh. He wants that, right? He wants the ball is on the ground. The ball will stay secure. I'm going to trust my guys. It worked twice on touchdowns, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.